Coming up on TMS, the malls are packed.
Weird Christmas traditions.
Angelina Jolie is not a trendsetter after all.
Internet company executives make a huge mistake.
This Duck Dynasty thing is blowing up all over.
Uh-oh. What's the deal with that weird Beyoncé album?
Eric's app review.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The yummy fruity pebbles and apples. Oh, here comes you know who. Yabba dabba fruit, delicious dew. Oh, ho, ho, I'm hungry. Santa, my pebbles.
Your pebbles.
Tis the season to be sharing, Fred.
Happy holidays, pal.
Oh, Fred. Fruity and cocoa pebble cereals, part of this nutritious breakfast.
Now, there's no cause to be insolent here.
Eat it!
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Tastes like a burger. I don't like you anymore.
I don't know why I use that one. Hey, everybody. It's Christmas, and therefore we use weird Fletcher quotes that have nothing to do with the show. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, December 23rd, 2013. Soon to be 2014, although we'll be back before then. Mm-hmm. It's me, it's Scott, it's him, it's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott.
I may have just woken up, dude. I may have just woken up.
Oh, hi, Barry.
Yeah, good morning, Barry. I woke up at the ripe morning time of 7:45, which is literally...
Which is 15 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago.
my alarm didn't go off, and I actually kind of have a natural alarm where I kind of wake up at 6 naturally. But my wife's like, you know what? You can work out after.
Yeah,
it's Christmas time. Just get an extra hour of sleep. Chill out, whatever. So I went and checked my alarm. Oh, there's the 7 a.m. one. I have a few alternates, you know, set up. Mm-hmm. Sure. So I just set the 7, put my phone down, made sure it was on, fell asleep, had a great night's sleep, had a weird dream that I OD'd in front of everybody somewhere. I don't know why. Just took a bunch of handful of drugs right in front of a crowd and died. That's weird, right?
Yeah, it is weird.
It is really weird.
Whoa. Where at the mall? Or
no,
where
I just, I mean, the dream.
Just in
I
front
just,
of a crowd.
Just okay. In front of a bunch of people. It wasn't like Nerdtacular or anything like that. It was just like a straight weird. Up, like, hello, everybody. Gulp. And then I started dying in front of them. Anyway, so that was weird. But it wasn't all that distressful. Like, I kind of woke up fine. It was all right. But I woke up, it was probably 6. Uh-huh. But then immediately went, oh, no, this is, remember, you're going to sleep in a little here. Remember that? And talking to myself, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of lay back to sleep. And I'm like, that alarm should ring any time now. It should ring any time now. And then I kind of fell asleep. And then I woke up and I felt like, oh, it's kind of bright outside. It's been so snowy and dark. Maybe it's just finally the sun's coming out. I roll over, turn my phone on. Little green alarm lines, that light still says set an alarm for 7 a.m., but it's 7:42 and no alarm went off. So my settings are all jacked up and say only do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, not Mondays. So I rushed down here like a freak on fire.
Right.
And here we are.
Yeah, you know, worked out fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't normally do this. I'm usually like at a good hour to like check the show and make sure everything's good and test everything. And
do a little running.
Not today.
Nope.
Not today. All right. It is our only show this week, folks. It's Christmas week, and we are only doing today. And then tomorrow there is no show. The next day there is no show. And certainly Thursday there is no show.
That's right. Because, we've all got to be playing with our presents, right?
Yeah, right. Got our trains out.
Hopefully our Assassin's Creed Black Flag. We'll see.
Well, yeah.
Is it Black Flag?
Black Flag. No, you're right.
Black Flag. Okay.
Yeah. Black Flag.
I didn't think it was named after the punk band, but okay.
It's funny because I haven't seen a single Black Flag in that game so far.
It's false advertising.
Yeah. It's a little bit weird. I don't know. Maybe there's a big twist ending where there's a Black Flag that has a huge role to play. But so far, no Black Flag. But anyway, okay. I hope you get what you want. I hope I get nothing because I desire nothing. Wow. I've already gotten all that I need with this studio and the house and everything we've had to deal with this year. I do not need another dime spent on me. Mm-hmm. But knowing my wife.
Of course you will.
Dimes will be spent.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
I wish she wouldn't, but she probably will because she can't help it. Yesterday, we went to the mall. And we did this for two reasons.
What the hell are you thinking?
What fresh hell is this, you might ask? Well, here was our thinking. We needed to get some last-minute stuff. But also, it was a chance for Kim and I to kind of get away. It has been the weirdest couple of months. Nonstop.
Sure,
crazy business.
And
it's about to get crazier because tonight we go to the homeless shelter and do that. And it's going to be, that's huge. Big undertaking, feeding 350-something people. It's going to be nuts, right? I have to bring enough drawing material and stamina to help all these kids get their own drawing stuff and teach them how to draw. Okay, so that's happening. Me and Carter are in charge of that. And we're feeding them and, you know, whatever. And we have help. It's my sister and her family and my other sister and her family. And everyone's coming to pitch in. Then Christmas Eve. That's crazy because it just is. Okay. Lots of stuff going on, family, whatever. Then you got Christmas Day. The very definition of crazy. Just banana time all day long. And then Thursday, I'm doing the Yogscast charity live drive stuff in the morning with Terpster. So me, Terpster, Dills, and I think Mike Schramm is joining us.
Oh, cool.
For some multiplayer streaming gaming goodness. And that'll be fun. And then I get on a plane that day. And I fly to Arizona.
Okay.
You might be familiar with it.
I'm familiar with it,
It's
yes.
a Scorpion song.
Also, there was a song in the 70s about taking off your rainbow shades or something like that.
Oh, was it?
Arizona, take off your rainbow shades.
No, I don't remember that at all. That's great,
really?
Though. I love songs about states. I think those are great.
Yeah, yeah.
Big fan. Nobody does a Utah song, I've noticed. Just doesn't exist.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Think of one. I mean, it, you know, in some popular way, there was never a song with the name Utah in it, the word Utah in it.
Like, even in the lyrics, that seems crazy.
There's a couple of punk songs with the word Salt Lake City in it.
Okay.
I don't know if those are references to SLC Punk, and I couldn't tell you the band or the whatever who did it. But it's just a rare deal. And there's
Please
lots of places like this.
Come to Utah for the springtime.
That'd be great. That'd be great. But I don't like Milwaukee is never in a song. I'm trying to think what else.
I know we get Denver. Denver's in that one. Actually, there's a lot of Denver stuff. Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead by Warren Zevon.
Yep. And Colorado's in plenty of songs.
Rocky Mountain High.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado.
Yeah, and see, those songs are...
That's unfair, because you guys have some of the Rocky Mountains, too. You got a bunch of it.
My sleeping daughter just sent me a text because she can hear me.
Uh-huh.
Because she's here for the weekend, obviously. She says, uh-huh. Great Salt Lake by the band The Horses. Or by Band of Horses.
Oh, by Band of Horses. Okay.
Yeah. So there's one.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. Now we're good.
And you had this Utah Saints. So if you're looking for band
names.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
So there's a lot of that. But whatever. I didn't even mean to tell you about all this. Why am I telling you that? Here's what happened yesterday. We go to the mall. I was telling you the reason that we went, the second reason besides the last minute stuff, was just to get away.
Mm.
For me and my wife to have some time alone to just... chill. That's not the place to do it.
No, not at the mall.
No, it's not. Not 4 days before Christmas, it's not. Good crap. That place was...
Man, here's what you do that to yourself.
There was so many people there.
We went... when did we go? We went Thursday or Friday. And that was even... Oh, no, I guess it was... Yeah, it was Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Thought, all right, you know, it's pre-weekend, it's pre, you know, day before Christmas. It was probably the last day you could go to the mall and not have it be just this insane.
I agree. You're even on the edge there.
Yeah.
Like that's even pushing it. This was full-blown, like just out of control, everybody everywhere. There's something about it that's nice in some ways. I mean, there's kind of a generalized festivity, you know, vibe happening.
Mm-hmm.
Until you run into somebody who's flipping out because they saved all their shopping for that night. And the one that really stuck out to me, because we had to go to a Target after, okay? We go to a Target. And by the way, there are way too many Duck Dynasty branded products at Target.
Oh, God, no kidding.
I don't know if you just notice it now, like buying a car and then suddenly you notice how many people have your same car. It might be that kind of thing because they're in the news, so right. You're now noticing it, but... board games, backpacks, lunch boxes.
They've got a plastic toy called the Gay Basher. I don't know if that's
the Gay Basher, right?
I don't know if that's an appropriate toy.
It's got a bigot kung fu grip. You just
that's right,
pull it, push it in the back, and you're good.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just, I was shocked by that. But anyway, we're in this place, and there's this old guy probably in his late 60s and his wife, and they're pushing around a cart at Target. Mm-hmm. And it looks like one of those carts. You know, you go to a store and there's always like a cart someplace that isn't anyone's, but it's chocked full of stuff and it's just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, this is probably close out, or this is the guy at the store just pushed it and left it here and he'll get it later or whatever. But there's always like this cart just chock full of crap. Every mix of toy and appliance and home houseware and everything else. That's what this guy was rushing around with, just scurrying around like a freaky little old man with his giant cart just packed with stuff. And they were not happy about it. They were grumpy and angry.
Sure.
I mean, it looked like the world was ending for these two. And I don't know who they were buying for. And there was not a lot of big stuff at the bottom to prop up the little things. It was many, many, many little things. So, again, maybe it was a big giant charity for all I know.
It could be, yeah.
Maybe it was any of those things. But they were not, I repeat, not in the Christmas spirit at all. Like, there was no joy.
There was no ho-ho-ho going
no.
on right there.
There was more. It was ho-ho.
Bah humbug.
Yeah. Bah-ha-ha. There you go. So they were, that was weird. And I don't want to do it again. So. Yeah. It is a bit of a tradition for me, though, to end up last minute shopping. It's kind of the way things roll for me around Christmas. So it got me to thinking about traditions.
Sure.
And our favorites, along with some strange ones. And I found this list.
Okay.
7 strange Christmas traditions that you may not be aware of. Some of these are on par with the pooping man in Spain.
I like, Krampus. If that's not in there, it should be, because that's I think my favorite weird Christmas tradition.
Krampus is pretty hot, yeah.
Yeah,
I like Krampus. I'm with you on that. Here's number one for this list. Okay. This is in no particular order in terms of, weirdest to weirdest, least weird. It's all just weird. Iceland, the Christmas cat. Jalkakukaturkarin is the Yule cat or Christmas cat. He is not a nice cat. He might even eat you. In many Icelandic families, those who finish all their work on time receive new clothes for Christmas. Those who are lazy do not, although this is mainly just a threat. To encourage children to work hard, their parents told the tale of the Yule Cat, saying that the Jalkakukaturkarin, they don't know how to spell over there.
Close enough. I know. It's like they have a whole bunch of extra letters. They like have a quota.
Yeah.
That each word has to have 17 vowels and 8 repeated letters of T's and N's and R's.
Yep, and a big bucket of apostrophes and umlauts and,
and umlauts and other tildes. And,
just a stack on top of everything randomly. Right. They could tell the lazy children because they did not have at least one new item of clothing for Christmas, and they would be sacrificed for the Yule cat.
Wow.
This would spur children to do their chores and whatnot. But, yeah. So
it's a real grumpy cat.
Yeah, and the picture they have for it is awful.
Yeah.
Like, just.
It's like a Dr. Seussian.
Devil horse cat.
Right.
In Sweden, their big tradition, or one of their big traductions, hold on, the video's being weird, is the Donald Duck cartoons. Now, stay with me on this.
Okay.
The custom does not have to be all that old to be traditional. In Sweden, every Christmas Eve, families gather around the TV at 3 p.m. to watch Kaeli Anka och Hans Vanner Oscar Godjul. In English, that's Donald Duck and his friends wish you a Merry Christmas.
Sure, of course it is.
We all know it is a 1958's Disney presentation, From All of Us to All of You, a collection of cartoons that, for the most part, have nothing to do with Christmas. The most popular is the one in which a raccoon bird bedevils Donald Duck. Many Swedes can recite the dubbed-in lines by heart. The tradition began in 59 when Sweden had only a couple of TV channels. There were just enough home with TVs for the Disney special to become a shared experience. Since then, anytime public TV channel considered not airing that thing, viewers rallied to have it restored to the schedule.
Really? Oh, we got to get Andreas to confirm this.
Mm-hmm. I think this is part of it. Let me see if we can play this little video.
Massor med ovanliga och vackra fåglar. Here in a jungle paradise. I det här paradiset lever och stortrivs naturens minsta sångare.
At the end it says,
I just got confirmation from Andreas. I don't think he even heard me ask for confirmation. But yeah, Kalle Anka. Confirming Kalle Anka, he says.
And that's a big deal over there.
Yes.
Weird. It's freaking weird. In Finland, they visit a cemetery.
Okay.
Fine, whatever. That's what sure. you do. You light candles and you sort of do it in remembrance of
on your under your favorite headstone.
Yeah, exactly. Dig up your favorite relative and decorate him. 75% of families in that country visit the Christmas time. Oh, at Christmas time. I thought that was another word. They just forgot to put a space in it. It's on Christmas Eve is when they usually do it. So authorities arrange for police to provide traffic control. And as you know, in Finland, everyone's see-through and has a heart like a beating fish. You can see it beating in their chest. And they also float above the ground by like 3 inches. So
yes,
you need cops for that. Let's see. In Latvia, you know, the thing they made fun of in Seinfeld.
Right.
Mummers.
Oh, I've heard of the mummers.
Yeah. Dates back to pagan times, people were trying to employ magic to encourage the sun to return.
It was the mummers dance.
Yeah.
It was a song in the 90s.
Let's see. It's celebrated from the 22nd to the 25th. Customs of the Latvia Christmases are usually activities that encourage the return of the sun maiden. And you'd go disguised as some sort of animal. I think this is just forced furry activity, and you play music, and it's a bunch of pagan stuff.
Now we can do the. I guess that wouldn't be a Latvian accent.
No.
Now we can do the furries. It's time to dress as furries.
What a
and
country!
Go out.
What a country! By the way, I heard Yakov Smirnoff on what's his name show, Mark Maron's show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Taking a break from his exhausting touring schedule.
Over there in Missouri or wherever he
Missouri.
Stays. He is a really interesting guy.
I'm sure he is.
Really fascinating.
Is the accent, does he still have the accent?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that like a, okay, I didn't
and
know that, if that was
and
a
And that laugh that.
Oh, yeah.
Still has that. And it seemed to be coming out of him naturally. So I wonder if that's just straight up his laugh and it wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
Who knows? The Yule Goat.
You'll go up.
This is also
sure.
in Sweden. The Scandinavian tradition varies over time and place. Goat brings gifts to children. The goat is symbolic of sacrifice. The goat is a prank that you sneak into your neighbor's yard. Look at all these uses for the goat.
I know. Lots of uses for the goat.
In the Swedish town of Gavil, the goat became an effigy made of straw built in the town square every year since 1966.
It's like Burning Man.
Yeah.
Goat style.
13 random goat style. 13 meters tall. And that's space points for whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Sure. Space points.
Every time I say that, I get in trouble.
We're the only ones not really using that.
I know, but it's fun to make fun of.
We're the odd man out.
It's fun to make fun of. I like to goof around with it. And I do, by the way, as a person who does a lot of stuff in metric, because I have to
sure.
for clients and stuff, I'm all for changing it.
Yeah,
It's much better, but because it's funnier to make fun of it, I'll just keep doing that. Number six, the Yule Lads.
Look at these fellas.
Yeah, they're basically Santa minis that are drunk and crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, they're great in Iceland, more Iceland stuff. In the United States, we have one. You ready for one in the U.S. you haven't heard of?
Yeah.
Yep. The Snapdragon.
Okay.
Or Flapdragon, it is sometimes known as. Was a game in which people tried to snatch raisins out of a bowl of burning brandy.
What?
Uh-huh. A player would then pop the raisins in his mouth to extinguish the flames. See, we're badass over here.
No kidding.
The game is played with the lights turned off, and a successful player will be seen with blue flames dripping from their hands and mouth. This game was mainly played in England, Canada, and the U.S. from the 16th to the 19th century. The custom of playing Snapdragon at Christmas or 12th night died out because of the obvious danger, but survives here and there occasionally. Anyway, so there you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, you guys have your little straw goat. Oh, and your cat that might eat you. Oh, no. We have fire danger.
Yep. And strange.
We eat fire.
Strangeness is only in the eye of the beholder. They make that point here, too.
Yeah, sure.
That if you take some of ours that we think are just, they're just what they are. But think about it this way. If you're in a non-English speaking nation who's never been here, a fat man who drinks Coca-Cola fitting down a chimney, that's weird.
Well,
that is a straight up U.S. piece of business right there.
Yeah, right. Right. The red suit was invented by Coca-Cola, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, right. The one with the belt in the middle and the whole, like the one we think of as Santa Claus, that is totally a Coca-Cola thing, which
it's
is
crazy.
In itself totally weird.
Right.
You give people cakes made of fruit that they know they'll never eat? What kind of tradition is that?
Mm-hmm.
You put blinking lights on your house and sync it to pop songs? Think about us.
What the hell is a Mannheim steamroller anyway?
What the hell? I used to go to see them on the concert every year. I hated it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have very fond feelings for them, because my mom would just drag us there every year. So popular in Utah. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's it, folks. There's your funness for Christmas. We do want, you know, wanted to pepper things with a little Christmas cheer today.
Do you have any weird traditions that you do at the Johnson Holt household?
To think, you know, like we got that great Thanksgiving, who can burp the quietest.
Oh yeah,
tradition.
Right.
I want to say for Christmas. Yeah, not really. I mean, I guess we don't. It's funny that it's the one holiday that should have the most traditions you could build around it, that we don't really have any major one. I mean, we have pajamas on Christmas Eve. Everyone opens a package of brand new pajama pants or something. I suppose that's a tradition, but it costs me money, so I don't like to think of it as one.
Right, it's not a free tradition.
How about you guys? What do you?
So we always go over to Tina's parents' house on Christmas Eve. That's where we do the family thing there. Tina's dad always hucks presents at us. So like he sits under the tree, right next to the tree. We all sit kind of around in a circle on the different chairs, couches, wherever.
Right.
And he throws our presents at us. Oh, and if you are not paying attention, you will get a Milwaukee drill to the head.
That's awesome.
It's great.
Yeah. I love. See, that's a cool tradition because there's bodily harm. There's a chance for trouble.
It's almost like the snatching burning raisins out of the out of brandy.
I mean, I guess my dad used to have a tradition where he would say, and I didn't. I decided not to carry this on because I thought it was annoying as all crap. Mm-hmm. He would say he'd have us at the top of the stairs. And we want to come down. It's like 6 a.m. Like, dude, we want presents. Right. We're coming. It's Christmas. And my dad would go, okay, now hold on now. He got the video camera out. When it was one of the big ones with like the over-the-shoulder things.
Yes.
And he'd go, all right, now what's the day? What's the date?
Oh, my God. And you'd have to say it like, because it...
December 25th, 1983. Yeah, it was like a...
Just let me get my Transformers.
It's like, Dad, we know what the day is. So does everybody watching this video. There's no question what the day is.
It's going to be printed in big white letters on the bottom left corner of this thing anyway.
It was. There was a blinking date down there, which he never seemed to get it to stop blinking. But it was blinking, right. And it said the date while he was asking us to say the date. And it would just delay things. And I think by the end, he just knew it was driving us crazy. I think he knew what he was doing.
Yes, of course. It was, you know, it was the laughter, the suspense, the forced suspense.
Yeah, it's dad's prerogative. I understand it now. At the time, it was aggravating, but now I want to use it myself. So occasionally, I'll do things like that to piss the kids off. But looking forward to it. It's Christmas, man. Everybody, have fun, enjoy yourselves. I'm going to try to forget that it's a little crazy for us on this side of the world, and it'll all be fine. All right, we're going to call Daryl.
Okay,
get that thing going here. What do we got here? We got a little themage, maybe? A little themage? It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
We need your help to upgrade from 35mm film to a very attractive digital package. Please help save Roanoke Cinemas from going dark. Roanoke Cinemas is currently using the old 35mm film projectors and will need to convert to a DCP projection system or its doors will be closed forever. We're using Kickstarter to accomplish this. Please help us provide entertainment for our local kids and families. Visit us at tiny.cc/saveourmovies, all lowercase. That's tiny.cc/saveourmovies.
Very attractive package.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Speaking of attractive packages, we have on the line with us Daryl Skeels. From way up north, way up in the beautiful state of Washington, the Pacific Northwest. You guys got that storm we sent your way, didn't you?
I don't think the storms go that direction, do they? I thought they always went from west to east.
I think it sometimes go the other way. I think that particular pattern was definitely going your direction.
They seem to go coastline into the heart of the country.
Yeah. And it was bad here, man. We had a few days there of just miserable, awful snow, sleet, slush, ice, gross.
Well, that's why I don't think it was the same system, because ours was just a light dusting for a few seconds, and that was enough to shut down everything.
Yeah, well, that's right, because you guys don't really get snow very often, do you?
No, not really.
Kind of a rare thing. For Brian and I, that's what I don't get. Like, if in North Carolina, a single flake somehow appears in the sky. the entire all industry, government, and human beings stop.
Exactly.
Functioning.
You actually see people in the streets doing stop, drop, and roll with snowflakes.
Yeah. And they have like statewide school closures, and you know, everybody loses their crap. Here, you need about 6 feet of the stuff before people start talking about it at the very least. Like, well, maybe we'll consider it. Maybe the time, you know, once a SUV is up to its window in 3/4 of snow, then maybe we'll cancel school. It's weird. I don't understand why. I guess it's just a matter of what do you experience often and how do you deal with it, and therefore what are your standards, I suppose.
If the kids can tunnel through the snow, they can make it.
Yeah, basically.
If you have the equipment to remove it, I guess that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I've got the equipment. I have this little snowblower, right? And you use it on the driveway and stuff, and it's great. And I like to use it to help my neighbors and help them clean out and things when I'm feeling service oriented. And the problem is, though, when the snow gets heavy enough and thick enough and deep enough, that thing starts to seem like the toy and not an actual, you know, functioning thing. Because we went cheap. It's like, just buy the little one. We don't need a big, expensive one. And when the snow piles up enough, it's like trying to, what's it like? It's like having your kid help you do the garden with his toy trowel he got with his little, like, my first gardening set or something. It just feels cheap and lame. But what is not cheap and lame is Daryl's knowledge of the Star Trek universe.
Yes.
And thought of him last night while we were watching Galaxy Quest and trying to catch all of the little Star Trek nudges and things that are in that movie. By the way, also, I don't know if you've noticed this about Galaxy Quest, but watch it again if you haven't seen it recently. It's an awesome movie and you'll love it. But more importantly, there are many, many, many F-bombs covered up with overdubbing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Many times. Sigourney Weaver running through that like obstacle course center of the ship machinery thing. At some point she goes,
danger room.
She yells, "Who the F made this episode?" or something.
Really?
And so you see her say it clearly, but she goes, "Who in the heck?" in the final cut. So I think what happened is this. I think they set out to make a little more adult, edgier comedy.
Sure.
And I think by the time they were done, they went, you know what? We probably, this there's too much PG. Of this is mainstream. Yeah, we need to go PG-13 or whatever. And I think
did you watch
took a bunch
Netflix streaming or something? Or what?
Amazon Instant, but my DVD's the same. It's all the same. And it was the same in the theater, too. Yeah, it's just they took all these F-bombs out. And you can see it all there. You can see them enunciate them in the scenes multiple times.
That is the best thing ever.
It's really odd. I don't remember seeing it as much in the theater, but that one where she did, I definitely saw because it's super obvious. But go back and if you haven't seen it in a while, go back and watch for those. It's kind of funny to see them cover their tracks.
I'll be sure I don't watch it on the ABC After School Network.
Yeah, don't do that. Is that a thing?
It looked pretty close.
No, I don't know.
Same thing.
They should have that. That'd be a whole
ABC
cable
After
network.
School Network?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And have it be nothing but like, Billy got pushed at school today. You know, like just stupid, like whatever those were. I would love that.
And then in between, you'll learn how to make wagon wheels out of a piece of cheese and a couple of crackers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh,
popsicles,
Brian.
Popsicles with Saran wrap and Kool-Aid and toothpicks.
It's a brilliant use of your time.
Time for time.
That's right. Daryl, it's always fun to have you on. We're going to talk Star Trek here. So here's your trivia question for today. Let's see. Oh, let's preface it with him saying, quote, "Let's see if Mike can write a question without messing up," unquote. he gave you points last week. You had a perfect week. You just didn't know it.
Oh,
okay. In the Futurama episode, where no fan has gone before, one of the best Futurama episodes of all time. Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Melvar holds the cast of the original series captives and makes them partake in a Star Trek convention. Part of this convention features William Shatner singing a song. What song does Shatner sing in that episode? So you should know this because you are both a Futurama fan. Anna has plenty of Star Trek connections, so he's cheating a little for Christmas here. That's okay. Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen this episode in a long time, though.
It's so good.
What songs does William Shatner not sing?
This was the episode where James...
Nobody helps him!
James Doohan would not come on. He wouldn't guest star, so they used the guy, that Welshy character.
Yeah,
right.
Which was awesome. let's see. Do I have that Shatner clip? You're making me want to do it now.
Nobody helps him.
There's the one. So here's your possible answers. Was it the song A, "Oops, I Did It Again" by Britney Spears? B, "The Real Slim Shady" by Eminem? C, "Big Pimpin'" by Jay-Z? Or D, I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Wow.
So that's a fun one. Chew on that mentally for just a moment. And while you're thinking about it. Dude, that song was huge. I just want all the kids today to realize that I know they weren't so much here then or they were just little children, but you know, those other boy bands had songs like that too, and your One Direction thing has only got so much life in it. I'm just letting you know.
Exactly.
If you're listening out there, Lexi, my niece, you've only got so much time. Enjoy it while you got it. All right, here you go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
Daryl, it's time for us and Brian to open the candy corn, Hers candy corn flavored pretzels.
Yes.
They're also pumpkin shaped, so I guess this is Halloweenish.
Well, candy corn. Oh, yeah. I guess candy corn is a Halloween thing more than a Christmas thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And definitely, you know, the pumpkin part.
Yep.
And then also we're going to wash it down with an espresso candy. Do these actually have caffeine in them? There's no
made
ingredients.
With Sumatra coffee. I think they do. Oh, here we go. I've got the piece that would say that. You know, it's not listed. Ingredients. Glucose syrup. Cane sugar, glycerin, unhydrogenated coconut oil, coffee extract, milk powder, natural coffee flavor, salt, caramel. So I would assume that because it's using real coffee that there would be real caffeine in here.
Yeah, the extract is probably...
it's not decaffeinated.
Yeah, that's probably what that is.
Is that all right? Can you have that?
Oh, yeah, of course I can.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not enough caffeine. I mean, like I had a Mr. Pibb yesterday. By the way... Because I'm a little sensitive to caffeine, Brian brings this up.
Was it a Pibb Extra or just a regular Mr. Pibb?
Makes me shaky. I got a regular old Pibb.
Okay.
And I'm not usually a fan of the alternate Dr. Peppers, like the Dr. Peppers likes.
Yeah.
And
the Dr. Thunder and the...
Yeah. Those are okay.
Mr. Pete. Yeah.
But if I have the choice, it's always just a sad choice. So the waitress will say, well, can I get you a drink? And I go, do you guys have Dr. Pepper? And they go, oh, just Dr. Pibb. Like, they seem so distraught about it. And I'll go, oh, well, that's fine. And they'll bring me a Pibb, and it's fine. But yesterday, it was not good. That was a bad Dr. Really? Pibb. Yeah. Or Mr. Pibb. He's not a doctor.
Is there a Dr. Pibb in the house?
No, he's just like the neighbor guy, Mr. Pibb.
No, it's just me. I'm just Mr.
I'm just a Mr. I've got no formal training. Yeah, I'm fine. So we're going to try it. So candy corn first.
Candy corn first.
Yeah, let's open that up. We always smell it. Smells
lovely,
fine.
By the way. They're adorable little...
Oh, they're cute, yeah. Although I'm used to my pretzels having crisscross going on. Isn't that what makes a pretzel a pretzel?
These are like little cues.
Yeah, they're like little cues.
They're totally little cues.
Mon Capitaine. So here's my question.
Crusty space cues.
These are crusty space cues. So chat room here. You can look at one. What I was going to say, isn't the defining characteristic of a pretzel is that it's all twisted together?
No, it's the bread. Cause haven't you had pretzel sticks?
Yeah, you're right.
You've heard of them,
and
right?
I've accepted those. I've accepted those as for what they are. So you're right.
Okay.
I need to quit having a problem with this. All right, here we go. Let's take a bite. There's no candy corn per se out of that.
No, it tastes like a yogurt. Covered pretzel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not. I think the candy corn part's lost on it, though. Mm-hmm. That's too bad. That should be its defining characteristic since it's in giant letters.
There are yellow and orange sprinkles on it.
Yeah, that's candy cane colored.
Yeah. Flavored coated pretzels, by the way. I don't think any of that's good for us. All right, then we'll try this espresso deal.
When
I was young, my grandma would give me coffee candy all the time.
Mm. And what does this look like? This looks like something. I can't place it.
Not like a Rolo, right?
No.
Oh, maybe.
Reminds me of a Rolo.
Like a little hockey puck is what it looks like. A little brown hockey puck.
Or a really big rank pip from Picard's uniform.
Oh. a rank
Did he
pip.
Have brown ones?
Right. What rank
do you have if you have little brown pips?
Little brown rank pips?
Sanitation man.
I'm going to write a children's book called Little Brown Rank Pips. It's going to be my new book. I'm going to illustrate it and everything.
Yes.
Okay, this is not bad. It tastes like kissing your grandma.
It should have goo in the middle, too.
Oh, do they always?
Mm.
Yeah.
Do I have a goo in the middle?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's some goo in the middle. There always should be goo in the middle. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's move on.
It's very good.
Yeah, not bad. Thanks for those, everybody who sent stuff that is...
Mary Henderson.
That. Oh, yeah, Mary. Yeah. Thanks, Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cleo. I did not lick it.
The other Mary, by the way.
Yes. Weird Tigger.
Yes.
Yes, not Henderson, but no. The other. Right.
Harry and the Hendersons. All right, moving on. Daryl,
Cleo, I'm licking this for you.
Yeah, lick that thing, will you? Daryl, you got a chance here to tell us who had a birthday. Who the hell had a birthday?
Well, on Christmas Day, that will be... Rick Berman. He'll be 68.
Wow. A Christmas producer. Birthday. Those guys have terrible times because they only get gifts once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although yeah. I'm sure Berman's just fine.
Yeah. He's the one
Rick
giving
Berman.
The gifts.
Berman. takes a franchise and nearly puts it into the ground. Excelsior.
Able to executive produce a Star Trek episode. Excelsior.
To incur the ire of fans everywhere. good for him. Happy birthday, Rick Berman. Thank you for all your time, your service, and your endless millions. All right, Daryl, back to you. Back to the question. It's a Futurama question. It's Oops, I Did It Again, Britney Spears, The Real Slim Shady by Eminem. Not the candy, the dude. Mm. C, Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z. D, I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
I have no clue. This, I only saw the Futurama episode that this refers to one time. Well, maybe one time or maybe twice.
You're the Amma guy, not Amma guy, are you, for Futurama? How do you say it? Futurama or Futurama?
Futurama?
Futurama-lama-dama.
Yeah. That's fine.
Rama-rama.
I think you say Rama, and I say Rama. I don't
Futurama.
Know why.
Futurama.
Some people
yeah, I do say Rama.
Do you say Mario or Mario?
Is it the Superman guy? Who played Superman?
That'd be Christopher
Mario?
Reeves.
Or is it Mario?
Mario or Mario?
Christopher Reeves?
Yeah, what's the Superman?
Who am I thinking of?
I don't
for
know.
For the TV Clark Kent guy. Who played that guy?
Oh, George Reeves?
Mario Lopez?
Oh, Mario Lopez.
No,
yeah,
that wasn't Mario Lopez.
Oh, who was that?
That
then?
Was A.C. Slater.
No, it was Dean Cain. It was
oh,
not
Mario
Oh,
I get those
Lopez.
Two all mixed up.
Yeah.
I always get those two confused.
Dean Cain
really?
Hosts Hollywood Extract or whatever.
Wait, I know that.
That's not a show, is it? Hollywood Extract? That's not right.
Hollywood Extract.
I know that.
Extra? Oh, Extra is what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
Hollywood Extract. great. So what was the point with that? I don't even know.
You're talking about A.C. Slater?
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. All right. So where are you? What's the deal?
I don't know.
George Lopez. Oh, wait. He's totally third different guy.
Why did I even mention him?
George Lopez. So it's who we have here? Britney Spears, Eminem, Jay-Z, Backstreet Boys.
I've only seen this episode once or twice.
I feel like I just we just put the clock back 5 minutes. It's weird.
I have no idea why I brought that up. Anyway,
I'm hearing the same conversation in my head. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know music at all either. So
yeah.
Even if I heard this song playing right now, I would know who it was.
Right.
So this is going to be a total guess.
Well, come on. You know Oops, I Did It Again, right?
Oops, I did it again. I had a bad fart, right?
Playing now at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas with a residency, Britney Spears.
And then what? My name is who? My name is what? My name is Slim Shady. You know that one, right?
I don't know anything.
I don't know Big right. Pimpin', but I do just, know I Want It That Way.
Yeah.
I know songs and that I like them, and I don't know their names or who does them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I'll just choose the first one just so that I don't have to go through them all and analyze them all and come up with stupid excuses for not picking them.
Fair enough. Oops, I Did It Again is what you say then. Let's find out if that is right. Is it? Incorrect. It is the real Slim Shady by Eminem. He sings this song, Walter Koenigsegg, how one does a spoken word version of a rap song. Melvar just says he found a way, and here's a clip. This is obviously a clear jab at Shatner's history of doing songs bad.
I'm Slim Shady. Yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So, won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
How can you do a spoken word version of a rap song? He found a way.
Oh, man. That sounded weird the way that was recorded. That is a great episode, and if you haven't seen it, you should totally watch it. But Daryl got stumped, and there you have it. It's kind of a cheat because it wasn't even a Star Trek question, but only related in a sort of tangential way. There's a chance for me to use tangential one more time in my life. Daryl, good job. We'll not have a chance to redeem yourself at all this week because it's Christmas and we're not here the rest of the week, but you can come back next time, whenever that will be for you, because I don't know when your holiday ends, and make up for it with some other question in the future. He is the Trek Nerd on Twitter, on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, and he's got some kind of trivia question to give us right now.
Okay. Does this carry time travelers or blood?
Ooh. Time travelers or blood?
All right.
Okay. All right, I'm ready to go.
Temporal artery.
Temporal artery. All right, temporal means like here time. We are in the temporal world, which is a time-space world.
Right. I would guess time travelers.
I'm going to agree it's Star Trek. Travelers, yeah.
Both jumping in the same boat, and that boat is sinking because it carries blood.
Temporal could also mean...
you can't change your answer now.
Temporal can also mean something in the body, apparently.
That's
okay.
Right. We got it right. We're taking the win. Hey, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by at Scott Should Draw, where you can find, where you can give Scott ideas of what to draw on Twitter. That's at Scott Should Draw.
This is not a Twitter account I own, created, or maintain.
Or endorse.
Or endorse, necessarily. Somebody created this. I'm curious to see what people do there, but I'm still not sure I'm going to do anything with it. Because it's just like a weird thing to say, hey, give you something new to do. Check it out.
Yeah.
Do it.
You're not busy enough.
Yeah. I got a lot of things going on, and I'm not necessarily looking for a ton of ideas of things to draw, but hey, whatever. Check it out.
I'm going to follow it.
Yeah. Scott Should Draw on Twitter. Go check it out. Angelina Jolie. This is not celebrity poop. This is just the news.
What? How is this possible?
Well, remember when she had her voluntary mastectomies?
Oh, yeah. Right. Because there was that trait was recurrent in her family history.
All the women in her family were dying of breast cancer or had been diagnosed. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to head this off at the pass. I already know I have the gene. I know it's dominant. I need to do this. So she went and had it done. And the big fear was that everybody was going to go get their boobs chopped off as a result, like a copycat thing.
Right.
And then the other fear on the other side was that, not a fear, but a good thing that they thought may have come from it is lots and lots of women were going to go get tests, get examined because they're like, we've been reminded that we need to get examined and go get checked because who knows? You know, you never know. Catch it early and it's an easy thing to get. Wait too long and you're screwed. So, turns out it didn't lead to an increase in women getting examined at all.
Oh, thank goodness. Of getting examined. That's not good.
They should be getting examined.
I thought voluntary mastectomies would be on the rise.
No. Yeah, you don't want that. Well, at least I don't think you do. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Boobs are weird. I don't have a pair, so I can't really speak to it. Angelina Jolie announced she had undergone surgery to remove her breasts after learning she had the BRCA1 genetic mutation. I was reading the other day about why men are so attracted to breasts. And it's kind of weird. Because you know what it is on a very biological level, Brian? They represent fertility and motherhood.
Sure.
And the ability for that person to feed a kid and prolong the race.
Yeah.
It's simply that.
Well, it's also the first thing we see.
Well, yes. It is the first thing we see. But we don't know quite what to make of it.
Right.
When we pop out of the chute, we're like, what's that? But later on, guys are like, yeah. But what they're really yan about is a thing that is purely a food dispensing device that is only attractive because we have been wired to see that as that we can create more life because she can feed it.
Exactly, right. And that's why the larger breasts are usually perceived as being more attractive because, she's got bigger breasts. She'd be able to prolong my generations.
My seed. Yeah. Yeah. I shouldn't have said my seed loud on the air, but yeah, my seed.
Yes. You keep saying it.
I gotta stop. There was wide discussion over the world about her decision. While the news impacted social media, it seems Angelina Jolie's admission of her double mastectomy did not lead to an increase of women getting examined for breast cancer. Jolie had hoped by admitting she had cancer, she didn't really have it. She had, that's not exactly right, GuardianLV.com. Anyway, other women would get themselves checked out. Yet in a new study, that does not seem to be the case. 75% of Americans knew Jolie got the double mastectomy, but did not lead them to learn more about the disease, according to the University of Maryland researchers. Hmm. So, no dice. Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. It's definitely something you want to get checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And do the, you know, on a serious note here on TMS, definitely keep, you know, check yourself and
before you wreck yourself.
I was just about to say that, but I'm on a serious. This is a serious tone.
This is a serious tone from Brian. That's everybody, right. Stand back.
That's right. So yes, check yourself, and if you find anything weird, then have it checked out.
Yeah, before you wreck yourself. Got
now back to the funny.
Internet company PR chief tweets the last joke of her career. This is great.
Okay.
The article is written like this, and then I'll read you the tweet. It says, here's a great idea. Well, you know what? Well, I'll read you this quote first. Okay. Here's a great idea. If your boss is long rumored to be gay and you're a PR chief of an internet company that, among other things, runs a black singles dating site, why not tweet a racist joke about the AIDS before your flight to Africa?
Oh, no.
It couldn't be more perfect if you made such a tweet and then had no internet connection for the next 12 hours. So you could have no idea. You would have no idea that everybody who knows you or has ever heard of you is disavowing you while you're in a flight as your company draws up your resignation papers. That's just what happens.
I just love being in first class. Ooh, I get free champagne. Mm-hmm. I love my job. Blah, blah, blah.
Time of her life. That's what she's having. Here's her tweet. You ready?
Yeah.
This is Justine Sacco. She is part of this company, Barry Diller's IAC Holdings Company.
Okay.
And she tweeted the following. Going to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding. I'm white.
Oh, my God.
That seemed like just like,
oh my God,
I don't want to have my job anymore. So here, I'll say three things that will get me fired.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
offending
look,
so many people in 140 characters or less.
And I have, as I've been explaining to people all weekend who either had issues or supported my rant last Thursday about the whole dynasty thing and the bigger issue in my mind, which is what I was really talking about. This they made all also argue here that, well, she's got the right to say whatever she wants. Yes, she does.
Sure, she does.
But man, you also have the right to reap the whirlwind from what you said.
Exactly. And her company has the right to fire her for whatever reason they may feel.
Yep. That's just not good. If you're the CEO of that company.
Yeah.
Going to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding. I'm white. You know what? The just kidding, you could have stopped there, and maybe then, maybe.
Yeah.
It's still a little rough, but maybe. But adding the I'm white at the end is just put yourself in the worst possible corner known to man.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Good for her, and good for us, because HelloFresh.com is sponsoring the show, and I love these guys. We tried the shrimp. Oh, what was the name of it? My wife's not here to tell me. Shrimp something that we got from them recipe was amazing.
We did the chicken last night.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
The carrot and parsnip ginger chicken. It was fantastic.
Isn't it good?
This stuff is made for people like it's great for bachelors who are trying to impress, you know, bring a girl over and cook her some food, because it's like it's written for everybody, including people who are not.
Yep.
Culinarily challenged,
yep.
Or not culinarily skilled, right? I mean, you've got the photos at every stage. Here's how you roast the almonds. Here's how you cut up the parsnips. Yep. And here's how you... Yep. It's fantastic.
And it's funny because I feel like you would be pretty heavy deception to your girlfriend because it's that good.
Yeah.
You are leading her to believe you are amazing in the kitchen.
Hey, you know, as long as you keep getting the HelloFresh, then you can continue to impress her and you'll develop those culinary skills.
Yeah, you can keep that ruse going for as long as you can.
Right.
So, it's fantastic. We love it. And you guys should check it out at HelloFresh.com. Use the code MorningStream at checkout for 50% off first-time customers.
MorningStream 50.
What'd I say?
Just MorningStream.
Oh, MorningStream 50. You're right. There's a 50 at the end of that. Mm-hmm. Jeez, what was I doing?
MorningStream 50.
MorningStream 50. For 50% off for first time customers. And if it's not in your area, it will be soon. Keep your eye open for HelloFresh.com. Those guys are awesome. And we recommend them highly. Oh, what's going on with that? Hold on. There, do it. There we go.
Okay.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by.
Are you interested in learning more about League of Legends in a casual, not-so-trolly setting? Then check out The Lane Podcast, your weekly casual guide to League of Legends. Join Jake, Brad, and Stark. Stark every week. This week we're giving away a $10 gift card for Riot Points to a random reviewer on iTunes. So subscribe to the show and leave a review for your chance to win. Check us out at thelanepodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at The Lane Podcast.
Brilliant.
Happy summoning.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Dan Benjamin of the 5x5 Network just sent me a text. Says, hey, what do you use for your live calls? Well, I don't know. I'll let you know in a minute when I take one.
That's really funny.
I'll say, hee-hee, all good. He feels bad now.
Aw.
Well,
Skype, which sucks.
You back. Yeah. Skype, same as you're using. It's the worst. It's not the worst. It's the worst best. How about that?
Right. Right.
Celebrity Poop today. Let's get to it. Phil Robertson, dude from Duck Dynasty, will return to Duck Dynasty episodes in January despite all this fallout. Big shocker. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked he's going to come back. I'm shocked he's the number one reason people watch the show and that you're going to go ahead and let him come back or air the episodes anyway. Are you kidding
me? Somebody think of the ratings?
Listen, that is all they're thinking about over there. A&E, let me tell you something. If A&E may pretend to take a stand... And I still think it's dumb. Well, I have 1,000 problems with all of this, as we well know. But two of them are this. They're feigning, I believe, they're feigning any kind of, like, greater public good from this. Because they know this is a huge deal for them. This negative stuff is PR nonetheless.
Right.
And it will boost ratings regardless.
Oh, yeah.
So A&E wins no matter what. So they're out of the picture as far as I'm concerned. They are not a thing to consider in this. Because they're full of crap. Secondly, I think it's dumb to kick them off anyway. And thirdly, I think that there are bigger targets who are much bigger bigots than he is. I've made all this clear before. Some people don't listen to that part, though. Some people didn't listen to the part where I said that he's been made a scapegoat. They only listened to the other part they wanted to hear, which of happens. Course. That happens.
Of course, yeah.
It looks like Phil Robertson's suspension from Duck Dynasty. And you know what? People are going to hear me talk about it today and take the other road and think that I'm being pro-bigot here. I'm not.
Right. No.
I'm opposite of that in every way. Go listen to Thursday's show. You really want to hear what I think? That's what I think at the top of the show.
What they need to do is get a transcription. So listen to what we said on Thursday and then write everything down.
Yeah, write it all down. Or put it through Google Translate and then it'll sound terrible. Here, show, we are high part monkey cheese fart man. All right.
Is there a Duck Dynasty filter in Google Translate?
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Scott Johnson of the Morning Stream said.
Do you remember when this used to be a real fad? It was like probably pre-YouTube or when things really weren't taken off quite yet for that part of social kind of network viral stuff.
Yeah.
And it was the big popular thing was people would make code so that if you went through their URL to get to another URL, it would change everything to be like Ebonics or
yes, right.
That was a big trend for a while. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Yes.
I don't do that so much anymore.
No.
But that's what you're asking for is basically a Phil Robertson filter. By the way, for those who don't know what the quote that gets him the most heat from what he said was this. And you have to admit, this is both ridiculous, embarrassing, funny, and stupid all at the same time.
Okay.
Here it is. Quote, this is Phil in that magazine, GQ.
All right.
Quote, it seems like, to me, a vagina as a man would be more desirable than a man's anus. That's just me. I'm just thinking, there's more there. She's got more to offer. I mean, come on, dudes. You know what I'm saying? But hey, sin, it's not logical, my man. It's just not logical. Yeah.
That's not the most horrendous gay slur that people have made, that people have said. I mean, there was a coach just recently, like this last weekend, that got caught on tape during the was it the Kansas game? Can't remember, but the opposing player, one of the opposing players, walked by this coach, and he yelled a racial slur at him for no reason. Let me just, you know, like,
just like
the
threw
guy
it out.
Caught a pass or something, and this guy called him the F word.
Oh, the F word. What's the F word?
Well, the
I don't know what. There's a racial slur with an F in it.
A gay slur.
Oh, gay slur. Oh, that word. Yes, okay, that bundle of sticks. Got it.
Right, or
I know the one. Or a cigarette.
Or a British cigarette.
Yeah,
yes,
British cigarette. Got it.
And it was caught on tape, like caught on video, and he had to issue an apology. Last weekend.
That's weird. Yeah, so
people still do that.
People do weird stuff. And, you know, there are places in life, like perhaps professional sports, where things are even a little rougher because, you know, I realize the world's a weird place. But here's the thing. I just don't ever want to hear somebody say, more desirable than a man's anus. I don't want to hear that anymore. The network hopes the media and fan fervor will cool down over the holidays. No, they don't. No, they don't.
They hope it just builds. It's time for the January 15th season premiere. Woo!
Yeah, they're going to, I mean, on January 15th, they have episodes in the can that he's in, and they're just going to go ahead and air those. But then they turn around and say they hope the tensions over the shooting, so they can get shooting future episodes can be resolved. You're liars. You love this. A&E suspended Robertson over gay remarks he made in the GQ profile. The Duck Hunted, Hunter-themed TV star compared homosexuality to bestiality, and also it seems like me to vagina as a man and be more desirable than a man's anus. Robertson responded to backlash about his comments, saying this, "I would never treat anyone with disrespect just because they are different from me." You know, of course you wouldn't. But you did, but you right. wouldn't. You wouldn't, but you right. did. It's all just such a, whatever. It's just a big, it's like a carnival of idiots, the whole thing.
Yes.
Brian, I got to ask you a question about our final article here. So, Beyonce.
Yeah, the Beyonce.
The Beyonce. She's from that girl group with the three of them, the two other names, no one ever knows. Destiny's Child. Yeah, those guys. She came out with a stealth album. Like, out of nowhere, she released an album. Nobody knew it was in production. Nobody knew it was coming out. And boom,
wasn't even released on a Tuesday. Like, usually, you know, new albums come out every Tuesday. But she just slipped this one in under the radar and
kept it a secret the whole time. And then, boom, there it is. What's your take on that as a stunt in music? And has it been done before? This isn't unheard of, right? People do these things?
Well, lesser-known bands do it quite often.
That's true.
But this is you know, Beyonce in a world where... singles are released, you know, you release like a single every few weeks, let it rise up the charts, build up the momentum for the album, and then finally release the album. Katy Perry did it, Lady Gaga did it, you know, just recently. It's the way things are done these days. You release a few singles, then you release the album. I think it was a brilliant move on her part that the unrelease, she had to, you know, basically it was a calculated publicity thing where the unrelease will get as much attention as a regular release just because she did release it this way.
Yeah.
If anyone else were to do it now after the fact, it wouldn't garner quite the excitement and the attention that this one did, just because she did it first, and it's like it's breaking the rules of how things have been done. And now that rule has been broken,
move on to the next one.
Move on to the next one. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So I'll tell you made a point earlier, and I'd like to compounded by saying,
sure,
every time the Outfield, who are still together, puts out a new album, it's always a surprise album. So
Jose's on a vacation far away.
I used to love them.
Yes, they're great. I listened to an hour of the Outfield on the way to Las Vegas this last summer with my friend Don. We each programmed an hour of music from bands that we like that maybe the other person in the car didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And he programmed an hour of Outfield, and it was great. I was like, oh, had no idea. I mean, they had a couple other hits that were not nearly as big as Your Love, but...
Not quite as big, right? How about this? That's Since You've Been Gone.
Yeah, that was another big one for them.
Say It Isn't So.
That's the one. Say It Isn't So was their other... That was their kind of moderate... That was their, like, top five hit, I think.
Yeah, that did all right. How about this one? Let's see.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
Song is called Your Love.
Yes.
Voices of Babylon, probably
Speaking
my favorite.
Speaking of Katy Perry, she covered that song.
Oh, she did? No way.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind hearing that.
It's not bad.
Sure, it's okay. How about this one? Here. Voices of Babylon. I love that song.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're great.
Is that all from the Play It Deep album?
I think so. I think that is their that was their big breakout thing that they never quite matched again after that.
Yeah.
And they're still together, still cranking it out, still touring. So
that's awesome.
Good for them.
Go see them at the Salt Lake City State Fair, Utah State Fair.
Right next to the cow thing. hey, it's Audible. Time to talk about Audible real quick here. Audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. It's a great place to get a free audiobook. And I love the selection. I love what you can do at Audible. My favorite thing about Audible is this. They are making the kinds of audiobooks for the genres I like the most. So let's just say. Let's just say. You're really into, The King, is it the King Killer series? King Killer Chronicles, sorry. The Patrick Rothfuss books are fan-freaking-tastic. Name of the Wind, Wise Man's Fear, and that new one that's coming out. Those are highly regarded, really awesome fantasy books, and they sound like
lamps
this.
On the wall, we're burning blue.
Blue.
Graham, Jake, and Shep nodded to themselves.
Oh.
The three friends had grown up together.
I want to kind of hear it again because that guy's great that reads them.
Mm-hmm.
That's Nick Potell or Podell, something to that effect. And it's an amazing book. There's also a version of this book. Let's see. Different guy reading it.
Tales of a familiar story. When he awoke, the Boiling the Great found himself locked in a high tower.
That one's a little more British man.
Wow, theatrical, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's great.
That's cool. Rupert Degas did that reading.
Hmm.
Either way, one way or the t'other, you can get one of these for free or any book for free, absolutely free, over there at audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. And that's all you have to do is put in that URL, audiblepodcast.com/. That's Audible, for those who don't hear it right, audiblepodcast.com.
Singular.
Yes. /morningstream. And get a free audiobook today on us. We recommend you do it. Do it today. All right. That's it for that.
Okay.
Let's move on to a song. Let's take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher, Eric Van Skyhawk, and more. Brian, what do you got?
I have got a request going out to Jay Hammond C. in the Tadpole, Hammond Chamberlain, local Utah guy,
Awesome dude. Yep.
Very cool guy. Provided me with a ton of music from Kevin Gilbert and then a ska DVD. I mean, he's super cool.
He's the gift that just keeps on giving.
He is the gift that just keeps on giving.
He gave me some Wacom stuff we're going to do a contest for coming up soon.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Can I enter that one?
You know what? You probably can, is my guess. You probably can.
Oh, I'm kidding. All right. He says, hey, Brian and Scott, on December 23rd, my oldest daughter will turn 9 years old. Whoa. She's started listening to the show when we're in the car together. She's one of the smartest and most talented kids I know. She had her first celebrity crush at N13 when she met Brian Brushwood. Oh, sure. Brian Brushwood.
Yeah.
He gets the crush.
Well,
thanks.
He can make stuff disappear and jam things into his nose. So.
Exactly. Yeah, bring some nails.
Yeah.
she's also a big Taylor Swift fan, and I'm a big ska fan. Could you play the Holophonics version of We Are Never, Ever, 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 Ever Getting Back Together? Ever. I thank you in advance for your time and talents, Hammond Chamberlain, J. Hammond C. in the Tadpole. Oh, well, happy birthday to your daughter. And
sorry about her infatuation with Brian.
Exactly. And glad you let her listen to this show. Maybe it's not so good. You let her listen to NSFW. So hopefully, the Brian Brushwood that she gets to hear is like the frame rate Brian Brushwood
keep her far away.
Right. Or I guess what cord cutters is the new thing.
Oh,
which is totally cool.
Right. Oh yeah, it is.
Nailed it.
No, they're calling it cord killers. That's it.
Or I'm sorry, cord killers. Cord killers.
That's the new one. Yep.
Thank you. Coming
soon to a thing near you.
Yes. Very cool. This is the Holophonics from an album that came out last year, Masquerades Volume 1, full of great ska covers. And this is their cover. There's no goats in this one, sadly. This is their cover of We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together.
All right. Here it is. Taylor Swift, Brian Brushwood, together at last. we'll be back shortly with more show. Stay tuned.
Saying this is it, I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month. When you said you needed space,
what?
Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day. I say I hate you, we break up, you call me I love you. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. We called it off again last night, but whoa, oh, oh, oh. This time, I'm telling you, we are never, ever, ever
are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together. Never say never. No, never say never. Whoa. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together. Go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together.
The times you want at the prices you want to pay. That's the value of your own store today.
I got sweets for somebody's Christmas stocking. I got something shocking. I got some home packed furniture that looks real neat. Got my sister Kate a Kodak for a photographic treat.
Well, go ahead, go scream your fool head off.
Doo doo.
It's Christmas. You just do the short Fletchers. It's a tradition that I just started now. So
perfect. That's fine.
It's won't totally be able fine. To hear that again till next year.
Wow.
Ah, whatever. We can play him more.
Doo doo.
There you go. Yay. One bonus one there. We're back, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Time for us to call a couple of buddies. I think we'll start with Schleicher today.
Okay.
Because Steven is a man about town.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in here, I have his link for... Oh, there it is. I found it. Hey, Steven, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, you need a theme, man. Hold on. We got to give you a theme today, because that's how I feel like you deserve one. How about this one?
Oh, all right.
Here's a pretty good one.
Okay.
Here. No, we did that one already. Hold on. Ah, it's nice, right? It's kind of nice.
It's all holiday.
It kind of was. Steven Schleicher, the purveyor, owner, and proprietor of such great things as Major Spoilers at MajorSpoilers.com, and, of course, the host of Major Spoilers, the podcast, Critical Hit, and so much more. Steven, how the heck are you?
I am
getting
doing
hit
good.
In the head with a piece of wood. What was that? I know, but Mom just about seriously took
the morning
my head
wood.
Off. I know. You didn't do it, though. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
Wow.
My wife, they're bringing wood into the house because we're doing the office over here. And for some reason, Kim decided that having it in close proximity to my head was the way to do it.
Nice.
It's like Three Stooges.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. Anyway, so, Steven, it's always good to have you on. We got a lot to cover. Before we get to that, though, how are you enjoying your holidays? You having a good time?
Oh, it's good. Yeah, I'm off all until January, and then I head out to Vegas.
Oh, well, fantastic.
For the big award thing.
That's right. Yeah. You'll be there. So Brian, you'll have him around. You got
exactly.
What better can you ask for than Steven?
You're coming to the concert thing, right? At the Velveteen Rabbit Saturday night. Awesome.
Yeah, you got to send me the info on that though.
Okay. Yeah. Velveteen Rabbit Saturday night. There we go.
All right. Cool. Done.
Just kidding. I'll get you the details. That really is it. Saturday night, Velveteen Rabbit, Same Sex Mary, Rusty Maples. Come meet your favorite Frog Pants folks like Steven Schleicher.
Yeah.
Hello. Woo.
Rusty Maples is his name?
Rusty Maples.
That's a great name.
It's a band. It's a band.
Oh, it's a whole band. I love that name.
It is a great name.
You know that Elf on the Shelf thing?
Oh.
My niece and nephew decided to name theirs The Maple Man.
The Maple Man.
The Maple Man.
It sounds so scary.
Wow.
Where's the Maple Man?
Yeah, don't say his name three times or he'll come out of the mirror and kill you or whatever.
Yeah.
That's great. So we got a bunch to cover, and a couple of these I'm super excited about. But let's start with the big news, which was Paul Rudd cast as Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's pretty big news. It was. I don't know how to take that because, he's a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
And now he's in Ant-Man. It's being directed by Edgar Wright, who is, you know, known for some offbeat comedy stuff. So maybe what we're looking at in Ant-Man is a comedy adventure.
Yeah.
Not unlike Billy Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah. Scott Pilgrim, yeah. Oh, I hope not that, not quite that.
Well, the Scott Pilgrim thing. Okay, so Edgar Wright, he is the one that works with what's his name on all the. They did Spaces together, and then
Simon Pegg,
and then went on to do
the Cornetto trilogy, all
the other movies, right?
Yep.
So he's known mostly for those. The Scott Pilgrim thing was his first chance to kind of get out from under that and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like kind of nailed the vibe of Scott Pilgrim. Yes.
Oh, for sure.
In the comic and the way that thing went, definitely. They really got it right. It was not a huge financial success, although on DVD, Blu-ray, and later digital stuff that they've done really well.
Yeah.
And continues to be kind of a modern cult classic in a lot of people's minds. My daughter thinks it's one of the greatest things ever. Ant-Man is a weird crossover because it's kind of mainstream, but kind of not. You know,
it was an original Avenger.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And he's probably got the same status as Iron Man when Iron Man movie came out.
That's true. So, but he's a little tiny dude. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about it that it lends itself to Howard the Duck level kind of.
No. Interest. I mean, because, you know, he was the Ant-Man for a while. He was Yellow Jacket for a while. Giant Man.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's basically your super smart scientist, you know, Reed Richards-esque.
Oh, yeah. Level. He's as smart as Reed Richards. So.
Right. And as much as I'd like to see them do a little comedy in the movie, at some point it's got to cross back over with the Avengers, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he may make an appearance. I'm predicting that there's going to be a little Paul Rudd cameo in the Avengers 2.
Yeah, I'd be shocked movie. If he wasn't, because that's coming later, right? You get Avengers 2 first, and then you get
right, Ant-Man. Then you get Ant-Man, mm-hmm. And then eventually, when there's an Avengers 3, Ant-Man's probably going to be part of that. So you can't go too off the wall with his solo movie because it's going to be too much of a jump to have it be all serious for the next Avengers movie.
Do they give him a little antennas like in the comics?
Well, you know, if you look online, you will see a short. I don't know if it's still out there. I know we had it up on the site. A while ago, but it was Edgar Wright was going around showing the sizzle reel of how he would present Ant-Man.
Oh, really?
And it's Ant-Man shrinking and growing to full size while he fights two, I guess, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in a hallway and heads out to an elevator. It's a really great action sequence, and if that's how Edgar Wright's going to present this movie, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are little antenna on his mask, and it's a great costume. Just do a search for Ant-Man movie costume on the Google.
Okay.
Safe search on, by the way.
yeah, and you'll really see what
it looks
cool.
like. It's a cool costume. It looks really great. I doubt that that's going to be the costume that we see in the movie, because this was just Edgar Wright doing it as a pitch to Marvel, saying, here's what I would do with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
There's been some talk that, and we don't know what this movie's going to be about, but there's talk that Ant-Man has always been in the Avengers movies. You've just never seen him. and a lot of this movie will have him in the behind the scenes stuff, almost like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future, what is it, two,
right.
when he had to be behind the scenes keeping himself up on stage to play the guitar.
I'm over here. What's going on?
Yeah. I don't know if that's how it would play out, but it's an interesting concept if that's way they did it.
That would be really cool. I have a feeling they can't go full that way, but I love that idea a lot more than probably it works on film.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll learn more as time goes on. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes trailer arrived. I watched it and I got a little tingly. I got a little, a little goosebumpy from it.
Oh, it looks pretty cool. Just the fact that, you know, here there's a small population of humans left and they're trying to figure out a way to work with the apes, but Caesar's not having any of it in the trailer.
Yeah, apparently. So it's hard to say, because there was always in that first one, and I really, really liked the first one, mostly when not real people were on screen. I was mostly enjoying that when it was monkeys. And I thought, what's his name? Gollum, what's his name? Andy Serkis was incredible as the body actor for Caesar. And really, I mean, we're to the point now that his entire performance is essentially Andy Serkis. They're just mapping over that.
Right.
And he should have gotten more recognized for it. But whenever people would come on screen, I'd go, ugh, this is where it starts to fall apart for me. Not great acting, kind of dumb story points. Like, that stuff didn't work for me as well. And I wonder if this time around they fix that a little bit. And I don't know if it's just because I have a lot of confidence in Gary Oldman And that's just when I see him, I go, oh, okay, cool. Got a straight up serious actor on screen today. That makes me feel less trepidatious about the human side. Mm-hmm. But I don't care either way, because what I see in this trailer is pissed off Caesar with war paint and a bunch of apes ready to do his bidding. And I don't think I need much more than that. And I'm stoked. So bring it
on.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
You excited about it as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be good. I think it'll be interesting to see how they evolve this into, or if they even are trying to tie it into the Marky Mark Planet of the Apes
in some way.
Yeah. But at some point, we're going to have to look at the far, far future where Charlton Heston shows up.
Right.
And how do we get there?
Well, that's the question. Yeah. Do they take it that far? Like, do they? They will make references. Like, I think I'll bet that this is the movie where you actually have a reference to that Statue of Liberty being buried somewhere, or toppled over at least, or something, just because now is the time. Obviously, that Phillips 66 station is a little worse for wear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where this goes or what the ultimate end game is, or if this just is enough for a trilogy of films. But I don't care. I think it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Are they going to have more gorillas in it? Because those were great in that first one. Holy crap.
They'd have to.
Yeah, dude.
They're the warriors.
You think they're going to start talking except for just yelling stuff this time? Like actual communication between the apes?
If this is far enough down the road, eventually they're going to have to start speaking. It'd be interesting, though, to see if they take it as far as, you know, Battle of the Planet of the Apes, where the crazy people are setting off nukes and everything. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah.
So there's that. Oh gosh, what else? There's a few things going on. Who's Chris Terrier is rewriting Batman versus Superman? What happened there?
You know, that's the word. So David Goyer, we know, had the first draft of the movie out and called Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And now Chris Terrier. I don't know how his name is pronounced. He was the writer on Argo, and Warner Brothers has brought him in to do some rewrites, or to completely rewrite Batman versus Superman. Now, a new writer on bringing in a writer to punch up a script is nothing new. Sometimes you'll see, you know, 15, 20 writers on a script. I remember the first Toy Story movie has
Joss Whedon.
Buffy. Yeah, Joss Whedon going in there, and he's in there to punch up stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if Chris Terrio is there to punch things up. But seeing how there is an Argo director, producer, star in the Batman versus Superman movie, it doesn't surprise me that a writer from Argo is there to punch up some things.
So is this logo on your post about this the actual Superman versus Batman logo?
That's the logo that Warner Brothers released.
Okay, I got a question about that. I feel like they're trying too hard to reinvent the Batarang logo every time they make a new Batman series.
No, that's the logo that was done years and years and years ago with the Batman Superman series, series. So for the comic book, so that's just the take on that fans
without
expect
without the Man of Steel three dimensional S thing.
Right.
Regular,
right.
But actually, one of my favorite things about the Superman movie, because there's a lot I didn't like about it. I think the writing was a little weak, and so this is all good news for me, especially if it's the Argo guy, because that was a heck of a writing job that movie. But the I always liked the idea that I know it was always the idea, and I know in the comics it was always the idea. But the S, or at least they evolved into this, but the S became this thing that was more, well, that's not really an S, it's a symbol of my family's, it's my family's sigil or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought the movie handled that stuff really well this time around. I thought that was really good.
Well, it looks like an S.
Yeah,
right.
And it totally does. And I like that they addressed that, but I also like that Zod had his really cool symbol and everyone had their own kind of trippy looking symbol, and I think that's just cool lore to play with, I think.
Oh yeah.
For them to mess around with. And I feel like they did that with Superman 2 a little bit. The old one, the Donner film. I can't remember exactly, but it seemed like there was some of that going on. Anyway, long and the short of it, this is probably good news if you don't like David Goyer's writing. If you did not enjoy the Transformers films, for example.
Yeah, but you know, he also wrote all the Batman films.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. I mean, how much
Oh, the Nolan?
Christopher
Nolan?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's worked on those, so. Huh.
I'm thinking the Transformer guy's not him. I'm thinking of somebody else. Who wrote Transformers?
Orchi and...
that's right. The two guys.
I forget the other guy. Yeah, yeah.
Also, David S. Goyer looks a lot like... who's the guy? who's the guy?
Yes, he looks like...
He's an actor.
Right.
Yeah,
from Big Night.
Yes.
Wasn't he on...
Not the guy from Monk, but the
Stanley
guy.
Tucci. Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looks
yeah.
just like Stanley Tucci. Weirds me out.
It does. That IMDb photo.
big, but man, for a typical time of year where things slow down a little bit, you sure had a lot of big news this week.
Oh, yeah. I think people are trying to rush it out before the big holiday break because starting tomorrow through, you know, the third yeah. or the week after that, yeah. there's going to be nothing coming out of the big Hollywood studios. I mean, today they just announced, officially, formally announced, that Vin Diesel will be voicing Groot in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Mm-hmm. So they're just trying to get all this stuff out now.
The Groot thing was photo. Year. Love that photo of him.
Yeah,
hugging Groot.
It is good. Yeah.
But it's weird. I always thought, for whatever reason, I had it in my head that the Groot announcement had already happened forever ago. Was that in my head?
It was a lot of speculation and a lot of just people saying, well, you know, Vin Diesel did the voice of the robot in Iron Giant. Mm-hmm. He would be perfect for Groot, for a character that basically is like, I am Groot
yeah.
throughout the whole movie. And so people were talking about it back and forth. There were hints and rumors. And Marvel finally just said, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with that. One last note of just kind of recommendation that sort of fits within what we talk about here with your segment. And that is that I finally started catching up with, I think I'm an episode behind, on Almost Human.
Mm-hmm.
The Dr. McCoy thing. What's his name? Can I give his name?
Yeah, Keith Urban. Carl Urban.
Keith Urban. Carl Urban's sort of grittyish crime procedural in the future. That show's great. Like, I'm cool. kind of...
It is really good, yeah.
I'm kind of blown away by how good it is for a show that... I mean, I feel like there's a ton of production value, and
yeah.
they're sparing no expense, as Dr. What's-His-Name would say, Dr. Hammond. They spared no expense. And they keep making it each week, and it's good, and it's. I hope it doesn't get canceled, and I think the ratings are all right, and the acting's good, and, you know.
Yeah, excellent.
It's got a good sense of humor to it, and it's got, you know, it focuses just as much on the whole buddy cop genre as much as the science fiction thing.
Yeah, and they're playing it right, though. That buddy cop stuff could be terrible, because it's him and, an android.
Right.
And the android has got just, he's doing enough android things mixed with his emotional chip things mm-hmm. that make it genuinely funny. Like really funny. I don't know what to even compare it to. I know back in the old days, you know, you get buddy cop movies where a dime a dozen, they were always out in theaters. But I don't remember ever feeling this kind of camaraderie between two characters and probably actors. They seem to be doing really well together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just making the show even better. So, yeah, you'll like it, Steve. It
reminds me more of the old Alien Nation movie and TV mm-hmm. show that was out in the 80s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a bit like that. Carl Urban is great. I think he's just awesome in everything he's in. And but this other guy I really didn't know from much. And he's awesome. Oh, my gosh, he's great. So, Steven, if you haven't seen it, you got to catch up on that. It's good.
Binge watch. We already did our family get-togethers for Christmas, so I'm going to binge watch on Christmas Day.
Yeah, and there are a few things in it that are like, okay, tropey sci-fi thing. This looks like a Blade Runner scene, whatever. It doesn't seem to matter because it's transcending it with good characters and good dialogue and good, you know, good acting. There's something about all of that that's making those other tropey things, which you're going to get in every show, it's making that stuff seem more palatable. It's pulpy. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's great. I hope it sticks around. Fox.
Excellent, excellent.
Please, Fox. Steven, we hope you have a fantastic holiday.
You too.
You're going to have it's sort of coverage during the holidays. You're going to be gone during some of that?
No. We did our family stuff this past weekend up in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's just Christmas morning and then hooking up two video game systems that the boy has been asking for.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And then we've got some podcasts and other things coming out this week, so the site will see some updates.
No, that's
people
great.
Can go check that out. Majorspoilers.com.
Yeah, Majorspoilers.com. Of course, Major Spoilers on Twitter. And coming up on the 8th, I want to say, we had another Comic Dorks coming, which is great because we had a fantastic last episode for the holidays. So if you guys want to check that out, you can. And there's so much more. Major Spoilers on Twitter is your best chance for catching it all. That's Steven Schleicher, everybody. Thanks, man. Have a good week.
All right. See you guys.
See you later.
See ya.
All right.
Very good.
Oh, that's Steven Schleicher.
Yes.
He's good people.
He is.
Let's see. Hakito. All right. We're going to call Eric now.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I'm all for that, too. That's great news.
He is not online. That may mean bad news.
Oh.
We'll find out.
Did we tell him we were doing a show this week?
I never tell him anything, so I always just assume people know we are or aren't. But that's
no raid last night, so we couldn't mention it last night.
Yeah, I heard that there was no raid.
Yeah,
I
declined pre-announcement because I had some other things to do.
Yeah, I was tired and kind of didn't want to do it. We were in the middle of Galaxy Quest. And I went, oh, shoot, it's 9:30. Oh, well. It was that kind of thing. So it's not that I don't think highly of everybody in there. It's just the way things went. All right, aww. I think he is not there.
Aww.
And I should have called him. I really should have. But I will tell you this. What? Who?
Do you have any apps you want to?
Yeah, I would, actually. That's a good idea. Why not? Hold on. Let me pull this
up. That's not a good idea because I don't have any. I just got all the damn levels in Tiny Death Star, so I'm done with that.
I have been playing King's Bounty. So it's this long, venerable series on the PC, been out in the early 90s and then revived in the aughts. And the final game, I want to say the most recent expansion, came out in 2011. It's a series of turn-based strategy games. Basically, the Might and Magic series kind of owes legacy to these games. A grid, knights and wizards. And yeah, it's
kind
great.
Kind of like the, what's the Fire Emblem kind of thing?
Yeah, very similar to that, I would say. It's just a turn-based kind of tactic strategy kind of fantasy setting thing. With always had really great campaigns and just a fun game. If you like that kind of stuff, it's a very PC-centric kind of gaming experience. And I've always enjoyed those a lot. Well, I noticed about a week and a half ago, they launched something called King's Bounty Legends. Mm-hmm. And it was free on Steam. And I went, wow, that's interesting. And I fired it up on Steam. And I played it a little bit. And I realized, oh, well, this is just like a straight-up King's Bounty game. This is great. This is what I like. And this introduced a bunch of PvP elements they didn't have before. But one thing I noticed about it was the graphics felt like they should be running on an iPad.
Right. And it reminds me a lot of that game where you had to build houses and you'd have the tax collector go and collect them and then you had to clear the brush away from the path. The graphics look a lot like that to
me. They're like that, but they're obviously all 3D rendered. Yeah. You know, whatever. But it's cool. The battle graphics, they all switch to be this big grid and you're moving dudes around and, you know, attacking from left and right and doing like your normal tactics thing. But it all looked like graphically about the same poly count you would have on a game for an iPad or something portable. It was different from their previous work. And I just thought, well, what's that about? And then I thought, well, maybe this is on the iPad. Maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. So I went and searched. Sure enough, there it was. Downloaded it. Started to play it. I'm completely hooked on it. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. And
downloading it right now.
Yeah. There's no barrier to entry. They're you know, like everyone else, they've got their free-to-play model and you can boost things and all that. But
sure.
I haven't had to do any of that yet at all. So I think it's great. And it's the kind of game I wouldn't mind spending a little money on because I'm having that good of a time with it. And I think it's good. So if you like King's Bounty or you like Heroes of Might and Magic, you probably would really like this. So there you go. There's my app recommendation of the week.
Totally digging it.
Yeah, it's good. Somebody also sent me a close-up picture of, I believe, a male testicle on Snapchat. I just wanted to throw that out
there.
Nice. Yeah, everybody had said, oh, Snapchat, that's all for sexting. I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of fun to interact with your fans this way. And most of them are all nice and laughing and showing me cool stuff around whatever they're doing. And, you know, a quick video of a guy talking in his car. Another guy showing a picture of his office desk or whatever.
Right.
And then a guy's a close-up of a testicle. Yeah.
Ball.
Here's a ball. I hope you enjoy it. Like, here's one from Tom Merritt that says, go home, Santa. You're drunk. I got other ones from other people.
Is he promoting Jury's thing, or is that just a whole separate thing from Tom?
He is. That's it. Oh, it's Ashley. Hold on. What are they doing? Okay, that was Ashley, and that was Justin Robert Young laying on a couch making a sound at me. So
nice.
Better than a male testicle. So there you go. All of that brought to you by Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. Go make your online portfolio and or blog and or whatever. Whatever, man. Whatever you want to make online.
Just make it.
Make it. Don't let anything hold you back. And better yet, don't pay any money up front. Find out if you like it first. I like that about these guys.
Yes.
I always have.
Yeah. Try before you buy. It's what all the kids are doing these days.
They got all the tools you need. They got all the templates you need. They got everything you need. All you got to do is go try it out. No credit card required at squarespace.com. You just put it in. You check it out. And if you like it, then we're here to save you some money. Let's save you some money. 25% off using the code MORNING12. That's MORNING12 at squarespace.com. That offer code again is MORNING12. 25% off. All right. Brian?
Yes, sir.
Let's be done.
Oh, okay.
Oh, one more recommendation. So Eric last week talked about Tearaway for the Vita.
Yes.
It went on sale for $17.
Yes.
So I picked it up, had no excuse.
Nice timing.
Yeah, didn't you buy it right before it went on sale?
Yes.
Went right on sale like 2 days ago. That game is really good.
Cool. I can't wait to try
it
out.
You need to play it.
Yeah. Bought it before the sale and still haven't played it.
Brilliant.
And,
fantastic. Brilliant. Isn't that great when that works out that way? We should get a little discount or something on a future game.
You should. Exactly.
It's really good. Like he was, everything he was saying is true. It's pretty awesome. Kind of blown away by it. I'm sad that there are, you know, the Vita's got a pretty good install base, but not near what it could be. And I think people are missing out on a really special kind of game. It's just, it has its hooks into you the minute you hop in. So do check that out as well.
Oh, cool. Can't wait.
We're going to take a quick call here at the end of the show from our good friend, JJ. JJ, what's up?
What is going on?
What's going
Scott
on,
and Brian?
Man? How are
Merry
you?
Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too. Loved your card.
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks. Hey, I just want to let y'all know I'm getting ready to get on a plane to go to South Africa. Hope I don't get suntanned. I mean, sunburned. Oh, wait.
I'm black. See, you're not going to get it. You won't get fired for that. You're out of here. You're fired.
All right. Hey, there's also another game. Did you guys pick up the Super Crate Box for the Vita?
Hold on.
It was one of their free games.
Yeah, it's awesome because finally you have joysticks to play with that.
Dude, oh my God. I was playing it. I was like, Scott would absolutely love this.
I already loved it anyway.
Cool. Looks like, I have played this. Where have I played it?
You played it on iOS. iOS had it as well.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah. See, iOS has had it forever. The difference is, though, iOS was fine. It's a fun way to play it and whatever, but touchscreen controls, not great for that game because it's so twitchy and so, like, it needs precision. Okay. So if the fact that it's on Vita is just a godsend. There are many, many games like that are available on other platforms that just need a couple of joysticks.
Yeah. Right. And I'm happy because I got Tearaway 2 when it was on sale, and I had the $5 credit from Amazon for buying the buy two, get one free game.
Yeah.
If you buy it from them. So I got it for like $14.
That's pretty good.
And I talked about this actually on our show. We talked about when I started playing, I was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you know how it takes, it uses the cameras and it's like, hey, this is your world. And you see my bathroom tile and everything else.
That same exact thing happened to me. Yeah. It's pretty funny. At one point, I'm going to make an admission here that I'm a little embarrassed about, but at one point you get to redesign the snowflakes on the snow area. So there's all these paper snowflakes that are falling all around you. And the whole world is like paper craft, right?
Right.
So it lets you draw with your finger on the screen a new shape for a snowflake to then have that flying. No. So I made a big red wiener.
See,
and the sky is filled with big red wieners when you go to that zone.
That is awesome. See, that was something that Reggie would do, which we saw Reggie and Dana this weekend.
Oh, that's great. Oh. And the baby, I assume?
Yeah. Dude, it was hilarious. I was holding her and doing my little selfie with her. Aww. 1 second, she was like, hey, all smiles. And then as soon as I clicked again, she was like, let me go.
Get me away
from
this horrible
man. You don't look like my mommy.
Yeah. You look the furthest from his mom possible.
I know.
You guys were you traveling there or were they traveling your way?
They were up in South Bend, Indiana. We drove all the way up there to see them. So we had a Christmas party in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And then we drove Saturday morning and went to South Bend to see them.
Well,
so we
awesome.
Came back Saturday. So it was good seeing them.
Yeah, we love those guys.
It was really good.
Miss those guys. I haven't seen them in a couple of Nerdtaculars because they've been so busy.
Well, it's only been one. Yeah.
Has it only been one? It feels like two.
I know it does. It really does.
Weird.
You haven't seen Dana in two.
Yeah, that's what it is. Dana in two, and then they had the baby, and then nothing. But I think they're coming this year. So
yeah,
or next
yeah.
year, I guess.
But I just want to say thank you guys for a great year and everything else.
Thanks, man.
You know,
I feel like TMS had maybe its banner year this year. I feel like for whatever reason, it takes time to build a thing up and do what it needs to do. But I feel like we're hitting all strides this year. Mm-hmm. So
and we'll just also want to
better and better.
Yep.
And I also want to add too, when y'all talk about Angelina Jolie and you're talking about the ladies go get checked.
Yeah.
You know, men, if you feel we have man boobs, if you feel some stuff, you need to get that checked as well. Because I actually had a mammectomy at age 22 because I had a growth.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a growth in my right one.
Yeah.
So
your right man boob.
Yeah, my right man boob. So I have a one eyed smiley face. if you see with my shirt off. So
really.
I'm checking right now, nothing of note, but I do have this weird thing that I've had checked twice in my back. It's like a floating ball of something.
Oh,
and
geez.
It floats in my kind of under my skin. It's like a cartilage ball or something. Mm-hmm. And they've both times checked and it's been fine. No issues. It's just this, and it doesn't grow. And we, but we're always like, oh, you got to check those things. You got to look out, you know, find out. You don't want to find out later. You could have just simply had it checked and removed and then find out that, oh no, now it's spread to everything and now you're going to die. Yes. So good advice,
sounds
man.
Very distressing.
Also, very distressing.
Know, and in the, what was I going to say?
I don't know. This is like Nerdtacular 2011.
Oh, it is. No, I was going to do like Psy on Duck Dynasty. I'm like, hey, Jack. Have a happy holiday.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very distressing.
Yeah, don't forget.
See you guys.
Very distressing. Take it easy, man. Merry Christmas, all right?
Same to you.
Okay.
Same to you.
Hope you get everything you want and then some.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Can't find his hang-up. There he is. All right. Nice to hear from Reggie. That's cool. That's like Eric Light.
You mean JJ.
What did I say? Reggie. I keep saying that. JJ. Jeez. It's all right. I just woke up.
It's totally fine. Yes.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Please, before we go, though, tell us about Coverville and what's going on this week.
Yes, so there will be an episode today because of the holiday and everything. Part one of the Coverville countdown this year, counting down the best covers of 2013. So expect to see some Scott Bradley in there. Expect to hear something from Nerdtacular 2013. Instead of doing 40, it's gotten so big. I actually compiled the 60 top songs, and I'm going to probably do two regular shows of 25 each and then a special 10-song show of 51 through 60 for just for Coverville citizens. So
that's great.
Yeah, so two 25-song countdown shows for the top 50.
Great. Awesome. See, folks, not letting you down on Christmas week.
No way.
Giving you more.
Yeah, exactly.
Giving you more. Always giving
episode
you
episode today and then one episode a week from today on Monday the 30th.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so that'll probably be around 1:30 because I got to start that up a little bit earlier.
Oh, that's great. Well, there you have it, folks.
Yes.
Be prepared or be squared. We're done with what we've done. So let's be done. We're done. Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope you guys have an amazing holiday. We like to think that we'll talk to you before the first of the year. We will, right? I think it'll be next.
Yes, the 31st. New Year's Eve. Special New Year's Eve show.
That's right. So one more show before the year is out. We'll do a lot of sort of end of year stuff then. Maybe have a bunch of calls that day.
Maybe lists.
Lists, more lists. We like lists.
Your favorite video games of the year. Maybe we do that. Like,
yeah, that'd be all right.
Couple. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that on TFS and that was fun. I wouldn't mind talking more about some of the ones that didn't make my list. Or that didn't make the main list.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see what we do. But it'll be pretty good. And hopefully, assuming everyone gets back on time from where I'm going, I'll be way relaxed and finally ready to have somewhat of a holiday. So that'll be great. And since I don't drink, the first is always kind of a weird day for me because everyone else is getting drunk and I just kind of watch TV.
You should just sit and watch everybody get drunk. I think that would actually be the more fun thing.
Yeah, go find a party somewhere, a bar, and hang out and watch people drink. That's it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Brian, let's leave them a song or something.
Trying to find the holiday-like? Free crate game, but I can't find it. What's it called? Super Crate?
Super Crate. Oh, shite. Type it in the chat room, JJ.
Super Crate.
I can't think of it. Crate. Super Monkey Crate. No. Super Crate Brothers.
All right. Well, never
Super. Mind. Hold on. Super Crate Box.
Super Crate Box.
That's not it. That's a band. Super Crate. No, it is. Super Crate Box.
Super Crate Box?
Yeah, that's it.
Really?
Super Crate Box.
It's like the craziest thing.
It's a pretty dumb name. It's available on Steam. And there's a video for it right there.
Jeez.
Oh, it's so good. Retro love, man.
Why on earth? That's weird. I don't have it available as a free download anymore. Is it not available anymore?
Is it a costing one? Does it have a price to it?
I don't even show it. I don't even see it at all.
Hold on.
This is
riveting radio here.
I know. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Super Crate Box is free to download for PS Vita, according to Destructoid, which they just posted this on the 11th. It says it's there.
Open Me playable. There's a game called Open Me.
Find this free game, something, Crate Box iPhone. It's got to be on there.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. I'll look. Yeah, exactly.
I'll check it out and find it.
Weird.
It's really fun. And two sticks on there is just going to make it the best thing ever.
I can't wait. All right, let's talk about music,
sure,
shall we? Christmas time, the last episode before Christmas. And you have told me how much you hate the version of Little Drummer Boy by Bing Crosby and David Bowie.
I hate it.
You flat out hate it. Is it because of Bing Crosby and David Bowie? Is it because of that coupling? That
I like those guys. I just think it's a bad. It's like putting your peanut butter with your steak sauce. I don't understand the mix. It's a bad
All right.
mix.
Well, what if we kept the song but changed it up and put two different people in its place and Maybe. Actually, you know, played a cover of the song?
Do they still do that?
You'll just have to wait. You'll just have to wait and see. Right. How about we replace them with Jack Black and Jason Segel?
Okay.
And this was a single that they released in 2010. I don't know what they released it for, what the whole deal was behind it. But Jack Black, Jason Segel doing a cover of the Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy, the version specifically by David Bowie and Bing Crosby. And let's see what you think of this one.
Okay. Well, it's better than a
infamous twerking video.
All right. Here we go. Let's play it now. It's Peace on Earth / Little Drummer Boy 2010 with Jack Black and Dude from Freaks and Geeks. Jason Segel. Here you go. We'll be back next week, right?
Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah,
Tuesday
week from,
next week.
Week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow. Be here.
Same time.
Be here or be square, whatever that means. Brian, thanks so much for a fantastic time. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you, Scott Johnson.
No, you have one.
No, you.
All right,
no,
fine. You. We'll both have one. We can both do it. There's enough room for us all to be having a Merry Christmas. And we hope you at home have the merriest Christmas of all. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next time.
Why, it's Jason Segel, the actor.
Hi, Jack Black.
Come in, get out of the cold. What brings you to my humble abode on this blustery holiday eve?
No, I was just at home, making gingerbread, fretting about war and hatred, and, well, this is a little embarrassing, but I ran out of ginger.
Well, you've come to the right place. I've got a ginger bushel out back. Take a whole sprig, though I'd require a bite of that gingerbread as repayment.
You can have it all. I just make it for the smell. Hey, is that a real piano?
You bet. The old black family ivories. My grandfather built it 100 years ago today.
Do you mind if I play? It always helps me to play a holiday carol when I'm feeling fretful.
Tickle away! But I must warn you, that piano's been sprinkled with magic winter dust by Santa Claus himself. When one plays it during this joyous season, things can get pretty freaking awesome.
I'll take my chances.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum, to lay before the king, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. be.
So, Jack?
Yes, Jason?
Can I pick from your ginger bushel now?
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Grape!